I'm Lisa Leahy, and I'm the host of Pictures and Conversations, a rabbit hole book club. Each month on the 20th, I'm joined by a group of fellow book lovers, and we discuss a book in our typically nerdy fashion.
As we continue to not talk about the book that we're not supposed to talk about. Anyway.
I admittedly, too, I'm totally weird about the way I read things. Sometimes I just completely devour books, and I'm usually reading three or four at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I just pick up whatever strikes my mood. I have something I read before I go to bed at night. I read murder mysteries before bed.
But I liked it good enough. Like, no, it doesn't go super deep into developing these characters. Definitely not. Is it Harry Potter for adults? Absolutely not.
Anyway, you can find Pictures and Conversations, a rabbit hole book club podcast, anywhere you get your podcasts, or on our home website, rabbitholepodcasts.com.
Everybody, welcome to Cinegamer, a podcast about intellectual property board games. I am your host, Jason Soto, here with my co-host, the Picard to my Riker. Riker was a lot cooler. Toby.
Was he really?
Think about it.
Womanizer.
He was a lot cooler.
Okay.
Jonathan Frakes.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Patrick Stewart is totally cool. Yeah. He's Professor X, too. So.
All right. Well, there you go. I still gave you a compliment. We are back another month, and we have a special episode for you, but we'll get to that in a moment. But first, I have to tell you guys that everything that we do here at Rabbit Hole Podcast is sponsored by Audible. You can go to audibletrial.com/rabbitholepods and try it absolutely free for 30 days. You can download any audiobook, original show, or podcast that you want. After 30 days is up, you only pay $14.99 a month, and you get access to more content from Audible. I don't see a downside to that at all. And if you decide to cancel anytime, for whatever reason, you get to keep anything you've downloaded. So, risk-free, audibletrial.com/rabbitholepods. Using that link helps us out here at the network. And a second way you can help us out is by becoming a Patreon member. Patreon.com/rabbitholepods. $1 is going to get you in. You get access to everything. You get episodes early and bonus content, things you can't find anywhere else but on there. And we've gotten a lot more Patreon members. So everyone who has joined very recently, thank you all very much. We appreciate it. We appreciate the support. And we definitely could not do this without you guys over at Le Patreon. So thank you guys. Okay, so I did not look up news stuff. There wasn't really a whole lot that caught my eye. Today, I didn't see a whole lot of detail about it. There's going to be, from Trick or Treat Studios, a House of a Thousand Corpses board game. Not a lot of information was known. I think it's going to Kickstarter, because when I clicked on the little ad thing, it took me to a little Kickstarter preview things. That was it. Not a lot of information is known, like how it plays or what it does or whatever. But it's from Trick or Treat Studios, who did the Halloween game, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. There's a Chucky game that I haven't got yet.
I was just getting ready to point out the Chucky one.
Have you got the Chucky one yet?
No.
I think it's available. You can buy it from them. Yeah. Like, through their website.
From looking at it, doesn't really seem like, I don't know, it doesn't look that great to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, I could be wrong.
I'm probably going to check it out. I still got to get the Halloween one. I haven't even tried it yet.
I got it. We need to play
it. Yeah, I do want to try that out. But so I'm curious. I mean, they make pretty decent games. The Texas Chainsaw one was really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
And the Halloween sounds great.
And I'm still waiting on, I bought the minis for Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Halloween.
Oh, okay.
And they said that it was supposed to have shipped on the 15th, which today is the 23rd.
Right.
So I'm hoping that it's in route.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
I did notice that. I sent you a picture of the Terminator 40th anniversary game.
Yeah.
That is coming out. It's launching. Well, I don't know when this is launching.
Yeah, not a lot of...
I saw that was coming, so I thought that was interesting.
Seriously, not a lot of information about the...
Right. it was Dynamite Games.
That's right, so I got that email.
Right, it's Dynamite, yeah. But I don't think there was anything on...
There was really nothing.
You couldn't click on
it. There was nothing. It was just like, hey, this is coming.
Right, yeah. So I'm assuming it's the 40th anniversary, so it's got to be the first one.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Dynamite Entertainment is who's doing it.
We are preparing an incredible Terminator 40th anniversary project that will be the gem of your collection. Then it says, as a fan of ours, we want you to commit to pledge on day one. And then click here to count yourself in. And that was it.
Okay.
So it's just a link to our Kickstarter or whatever. Okay. Well, I'm curious.
I'm very curious.
I will wait till it launches and take a look at it.
That's by far one of my favorite sci-fi films.
Yeah. That has to be like a 1v-all game. I can't... Unless it's a cooperative game, then it's like Pandemic where you're playing against the game.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would see as one person's a Terminator.
Right, yeah. The game could move the Terminator around.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
So I guess that could go either way.
I mean, the thing is, though, you've got... You know, Linda Hamilton's character, and you've got
Kyle Reese.
Kyle Reese, thank you. I can't remember his name. You've got, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
To be
But think about this. Remember the Texas Chainsaw Massacre game we just talked about? They threw in these weird stock characters, like the truck driver is a playable character.
Right. No, that's true.
So they could have, like, the friend of Linda Hamilton's friend. They could have, like,
she talks to you on the phone?
Yeah.
Which was in Aliens. She was in Aliens.
Her, yeah.
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 Ramirez.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Or Hernandez. I think it was Ramirez.
Ramirez. It's Ramirez.
But you can always have the, like, wasn't it like this, the psychiatrist?
That's in two.
Was that in the second one?
That's the second one. But yeah, that's hilarious.
And, you know, you can have John Connor as the embryo, you know, because their embryos are humans now.
Or... It's Terminator Genesis, and it goes back to the original, where you have the cyborg John Connor.
Yeah.
All right, that's getting too crazy.
Okay.
Anyway.
But that's coming sometime in the future, and I am interested in it.
I am too.
I am excited about that.
I am curious about what happens.
There's anything else that popped up?
I haven't really seen anything. I did look a little bit, but I didn't see nothing that caught my eye and that I was like, I need to get that right now.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I want to look on GameFound as well because I thought there was some stuff that I was interested in on GameFound. But
yeah, I can't think of anything else. I know like a bunch of stuff that I can talk about this while you're looking that up.
Okay,
one of my most anticipated,
Conan the.
Oh, I was gonna get to that.
Okay,
I'm gonna get to that. One of my most anticipated Kickstarters that I backed back in 2020. Like, this was literally in the middle of the pandemic when this Kickstarter stopped. And I've been waiting that long for it to get here, called Seventh Citadel, which is a follow-up to Seventh Continent. It's made by the same people that made Seventh Continent. And I missed out on Seventh Continent. Like, I didn't even see that Kickstarter when that happened. I missed it somehow. But that's totally up my alley because I like storytelling games. I like, you know, adventure games, stuff like that. But then someone said that the Seventh Citadel is a more streamlined version of Seventh Continent. Have you played?
I have not played Seventh Continent.
Yeah, I wanted to check it out. So now I have Seventh Citadel. So now I have that in my arsenal of, campaign-ish storytelling games that I've been acquiring as of late. So
play that solo too.
You can't play it solo.
It is mainly a solo though, isn't it?
You can.
Okay.
I'm not a huge solo person.
Yeah.
So I would like to play with like friends and stuff. So But you can. I mean, there's characters. There's a bunch of characters you can play. So, all right. Well, with that said, go ahead.
You said 2020 because I got Robinson Crusoe.
Was that?
That was 2020.
That was also 2020.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It took forever.
That's yeah. All these games from 2020 now shipping. But that one I felt like took forever because I kept still getting the emails about it. Yeah. Like, hey, you know, we're working on it. And it's like 2022. And I'm like, when are you shipping it? Like,
well, when you look at the content that goes into games like that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, after I played a few games of Robinson Crusoe.
Yeah.
They put a lot more. You know, work into it. You know, they made the a really cool scenario book, example, that you have, and you've got a campaign that you can play. I mentioned that there's like a horror mode that you can play.
I heard you mention that
in the campaign mode. I'm assuming there's some zombies on an island or something. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't played it. So, you know, that kind of content that goes into these games, I don't mind that it takes a while for it to get here. You know. I mean, I'd like for it to get here tomorrow, you know, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I do get it. And when I opened up that box, there was a lot of shit in it. You know, it's mostly cards, and each card has like art on it, and then there's stories, there's branching stories. So I kind of get. You know, where they're possibly coming from. Yeah. Like, it probably took a minute for them to do it.
Right.
But it was just more of just like, it took 4 years and I just kept seeing the emails. And I keep hearing these Kickstarter horror stories where it's like you back a game and then they just disappear and you never see them again. I mean, you're familiar with that.
That's only happened to me once. I mean, it almost happened with Evil Dead 2. You know, and then somebody swooped in, you know, they Dynamite swooped in and save them. But yeah, I've only had one game that did not fund. Well, there's one that's, I don't know what's going to happen with that one. But out of all the Kickstarters I've backed, I mean, I've backed over 300 games on Kickstarter alone. So, dude, that's pretty, we need Tim right here to tell us what the odds are. But I've had one that did not fund out of 300 some games. So.
Yeah.
That's pretty good batting average right there. No, we're talking baseball now, Jason.
No, not sports. No. So anyway, so that was pretty cool. So I can't wait to play that. So, okay, since we're still in this Kickstarter news, let's go ahead and get into our little special thing. We did announce the last episode. We're working, I don't know how to word this really. We're kind of working with Gale Force 9. They sent out a thing asking for content creators, and they mean like anything, like YouTube, podcasts, whatever.
At the bottom of the barrel there.
They were scraping the bottom. No. And they were like, we'll make a deal, you know, kind of a deal with content creators. You know, we'll send you games and then you guys play them and review them on whatever platform. You know, mostly YouTube. I've been seeing them pop up on YouTube, like all these people with the review copies and stuff. We're probably one of the few podcasts who's doing it. But we got the first game in, which we're going to talk about. But since we're in this little Kickstarter news area, they did announce three games are going to Kickstarter. And what's funny
actually, GameFound.
That's why I couldn't find it. It's GameFound. GameFound. Three games are going to GameFound, and they're like, one of them is The Adventures of Conan, or Conan. I don't know how you.
Conan.
I say Conan because it's a talk show host. I know you had a Conan game that was kind of crappy. I wasn't a fan of it. You didn't seem too thrilled by it.
Did you play the one that was like Gotham City Chronicles?
Yeah.
Like Batman?
That with the boards and all the cards.
Yeah, it plays exactly like the Gotham City Chronicle one. I have another Conan as well.
But yeah, so this is called Adventures of Conan. It's coming game found. It's based more on the comics, it looks like. They're using the comic art for it, which is cool.
Well, I read that they actually have the artists from the comics doing the artwork. So I think that's really cool that they're actually getting those guys to do it.
Yeah, I think that's awesome as well. Yeah,
The artwork's great. I love that. I absolutely love the artwork.
So I don't know if we'll be able to get, like, I don't know if this deal.
Scroll down, the other way.
Oh, go up.
Yeah, sorry. There you go. See, Dark Horse Comics.
Oh, Dark Horse.
You've got the Dark Horse comic artist working on it.
So I don't know if this little deal that we got going on with Gale Force 9 will include these. It would be great. And Gale Force 9, if you're listening, please hit me up. We are interested in trying these out. But if it's not part of the deal, it's fine. I don't want to, be too pushy or needy. But it would be amazing if we could try these out kind of ahead of time. And then the second one was the Dune game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I have here. The War for Arrakis. I'm going to say two things that's going to confound you. You ready? Ready to be confounded, Toby?
I'm always ready to be confounded.
I've not played any Dune board game, ever, and I've never seen any of the movies.
You never saw the David Lynch?
Nope, I didn't even see the David Lynch. Which I know, I love David Lynch, but I've not seen that one either. So I don't know a whole lot about Dune. I know there's a giant worm at some point, and everyone's got blue eyes, and that's kind of all that I know about Dune. Oh, and there's a lot of sand. It takes place in a desert.
There's definitely a lot of sand.
And that's all that I know. So I've never played any game based on Dune, so I don't know anything about that. But this looks kind of cool. And again, there's not a lot of information. Like, these are all still in previews. Like the game found pages are still kind of in a preview. So I don't know how they're playing or whatever. I'm trying to find the third one, which I don't remember what the third
Star
one
Trek
was.
It's Star Trek Ascendancy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, let me answer my question. Where the hell is that?
See if I can. I thought I had it. Which is the what I have. I have Star Trek Ascendancy. This new one is going to be a bigger box where you can store everything inside it. It's going to have all the expansions, which they've got several expansions, with the Vulcans and the Borg and the Dominion. I have, I think, all of them except for a couple of the expansions. Okay. So this is the Final Frontier box. Like I said, a bigger box. And like what I would do, I would just get whatever package they have that has the expansions in a bigger box so I can store everything in a bigger box.
Okay.
I'm missing two expansions for this.
Okay.
But it's a great game. It's fun.
That one I've never played.
I think you would enjoy it.
Okay.
And the Dune game, I've never played that one. Yeah. The only Dune game I played is the Dune Imperium, which is great.
Really,
really good deck builder. There's a bit of a fighting aspect to it, but it's not difficult to play. So if you're not into, men on a map type game, it really doesn't pertain to that. You're not maneuvering strategically, moving your forces and stuff like that. But it's primarily a deck builder game, the Imperium. But that's not the one that.
Yeah. No, it's a different thing. All right. Well,
I'm excited.
I want to check those out.
I've always been a big, not a big Conan fan, but I always liked the comics, love the movie.
I want to check those out. Yeah. Those look cool.
And of course, the Star Trek one. I definitely want that. The Dune one.
So,
I would play it. We get the Dune. I'll play that. Of course, I'll play it. I like Dune.
So let me know, Gale Force 9, if we can get in on that.
Do we have to contact them?
How does that work? Let us know. So that leads us to our main discussion, which I will say for all of the legal reasons. We did not pay for this board game. Gale Force 9 did mail this to us for free for us to review the checkout and talk about on the podcast. We are not paid for this review, so we are going to give our honest opinions about it. But we are grateful. I do want to say thank you to Gale Force 9 for sending us this game, for letting us try it out. We are very appreciative of that. And but yeah, we are going to still give an honest opinion about this. So we're not paid for our thoughts. They just gave us the game to say, hey, try this out. And this is more of a celebration of the new expansions that came out for it. But the game we are talking about is called Star Trek Away Missions, which came out in 2023. And it's a two-player game. You can do four. We'll get to that in a minute, but it's mostly a two-player game. And it's basically the Federation versus the Borg. If you know anything about Star Trek, and mostly Star Trek The Next Generation, that meant something to you. If you've never seen Star Trek New Generation or Next Generation, everything is probably going to be lost on you. Because I'm only vaguely familiar with Next Generation. Like, I've seen some episodes. I've seen the movies. I've seen Generations with Kirk and Picard mm-hmm. meeting. I've seen those. But I didn't watch a whole lot of the TV show as it was airing or, like, going back to it. I'm aware of the characters. I know who what the Borg is. I know what they do. That's what this is doing. So actually, maybe you should tell what the story of behind the game, like what's the Borg and Toby, because you've seen this more than I have. You want to tell people who may not know what's going on story wise.
Okay. Well, the Borg is a race. I guess you can say that. What they do is they want to assimilate technology, and they want to assimilate people and turn them into other Borgs. So it's all about being part of a collective. No one is an individual in the Borg. They all are of the hive mind. So they are all linked together. All their thoughts are one. And they all move as one, and they all do everything as one. So they are just trying to conquer everyone. everyone has a lie. They are trying to conquer them, and they don't really want to kill, because they want to assimilate you and make you into a Borg and have you join them. So that's essentially what the Borg are.
Okay. Yeah, and like I said, I've seen like pictures and memes and stuff, but I've never actually seen the episode that this is based on.
It's a great story with the Borg. I mean, how the episodes are always very interesting and exciting whenever you come up against the Borg. Whether mm-hmm. Every time you know that a Borg is going to be in that episode, is you know it's going to be exciting.
Okay. So they came up more than once. It wasn't just.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. They're all through all seven seasons.
Oh really?
Okay. And they're in Deep Space Nine, and they're in Voyager okay. as well, because they come from the Gamma Quadrant, mm-hmm. Which Deep Space Nine. That's where the wormhole is. It appears. And that's how you get into the Gamma Quadrant. It's through that wormhole.
Okay. Okay.
For example.
So yeah. So the game that we're talking about today sort of simulates the conflict. the conflict between the Federation and the Borg. So the game, when you get the base game, there's a little tutorial section for you to kind of try it out first. They don't put all the rules in the tutorial. They leave out a couple mechanics. They leave out some rules just to kind of get your feet wet into the game, just to kind of try out moving around on the board, getting used to the characters. And they have starter decks. So there's these deck of cards for both the Federation and the Borg, and they're separated. You have what's called a starter deck, where you open that up and you play with just those cards. And it's 20 mission cards and 20
support
cards. And then you only play with those. and you draw up a hand of five from each deck, so you have 10 total. The mission cards is what you're using to get points throughout the game. And the object of the game is to get the most points after the third round. So you're using these mission cards to get your points. Your support cards are cards you play to help you
get equipment. And
get equipment.
Kind of an engine building type thing as well in some aspect.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because I know that I had to...
Yours was more engine.
Right, I had... And it kind of makes sense because, I mean, they're not human. They're the Borg. Yeah.
Yeah, Toby played the Borg. I was the Federation. Which I want to talk about that for in a bit. But... So, yeah, you have these deck of cards, and then there's three rounds. But each round, each person plays four characters, and you activate one character. You do two actions, which can include moving, attacking, doing a special action that could be on a card or wherever, or a take cover, which just helps boost your defense if you get attacked. So those are the four that you get in the tutorial portion of it. Later on, they add on
where you can draw cards.
You can discard mission cards and draw a new one, or you can just draw a new support card. So they add those to the mix. You're then going around on this board. So it's a modular board. There's four big square boards and then like two narrow hallways.
Yeah. Corridors.
The tutorial tells you how to set up the board. And then after that, when you're more comfortable with it and you're playing the regular game, you can then set up how you want the board. And the boards are double-sided. So one side is like the Enterprise ship. And then the other side is a Borg ship.
It's a cube.
It's the cube.
Borg cube ship.
And you can talk about, you know, with your opponent, like which side of the board you want to use. And then you take turns putting the board out. And then you'll take turns putting your figures out. The Borg character does not start with all of their characters out. They start off with two characters. And then gradually throughout the, you know, each round, you add two more onto the board. And to make up for this, they give you bonus action tokens. So that way, each of you have an equal number of turns. Because the Federation always has four, no matter what, unless they get knocked out. Mm. But then, if I have four, Toby will start off with two. Toby will get two bonus action tokens that he can then use to activate one character that already went. To do one action, and that could be move, that could be play a card, whatever.
Yeah, any of those actions you need. Yeah.
And then the mission cards take actions. You have to do an action to do the missions.
If you play a card, it takes an action to play a card.
Right.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, because you have to. So, for the Federation player. A lot of their cards is you have to be at certain terminals. There's like command terminals and science terminals and whatever else. And then you have to be there. And then you have to do a skill test, which is you roll however many dice that your character has for that skill. You add plus one if you're good in that skill. So there's engineering, there's science, there's medicine. Diplomacy is one, stuff like that. And then if you get a four or higher, you succeed in the test. You can do rerolls by discarding a card. Discarding a card lets you reroll any or all the dice. And you can keep doing this until you either run out of cards or you succeed.
Which I did a lot.
Toby did have to do that a lot. I only had to do it a few times. And I only had to do it when we played the second time with the full game. Mm. We played this twice. We did the tutorial and then we did the full game. And I think I only had to do that with the full game, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. I know I didn't do it as often in the second game.
Okay.
I was rolling a little bit better
in
the second game. The first game, yeah, I wasn't rolling very well.
And so you take turns activating a character. Once you activate a character, you put a activate token on that character to show that they already went. Then the other player goes, they do their stuff, and then you go back and forth. Once all your characters have gone, The round is over. You go to round two. You can discard cards from your hand, and you draw new ones into your hand. The board player then puts out two more characters, and then it continues. So that's basically how it plays. Now, here's what's interesting about this, and I've said this from the get-go. You could go through this entire game without fighting the other character. Because you could really just stay out of each other's way, do your missions, and then not even fight. Mm-hmm. Now, I was doing the fighting because, one, it felt kind of thematic to do. Because you told me that more of the Federation will want to fight the Borg. But you didn't do any fighting. You didn't, both games
we played, you didn't attack, you didn't attack once. Yeah.
Which is fine, but I wanted to see how the attacks work. I wanted to see how the characters stood up to them. Because how attacking works is kind of interesting. The character has a certain number of dice they roll for attack. If it's a range attack and they're using their phasers, you get a plus one, you get an added die. And then the other character has a defense stats. You both roll your dice. And then there's this weird little tracker thing that I was making fun of it at first, but it kind of came in handy.
It helps out.
It does help
you
out.
Know, you can line the dice up easier to see what the pips are on the dice.
So when you roll your dice, put them on this tracker from highest to lowest.
It's a nice thing they added into it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it did help. I made fun of it at first, but then I kind of got used to it after a while. But you put your dice higher or lowest, and then you look to see in each row, okay, the Federation rolled higher than the Borg, so the Borg takes one hit. Okay, the Borg rolled one higher than the Federation, so they blocked one hit. Oh, nothing, they both rolled evenly, nothing happens. And then if one person rolls more dice than the other, the extra die only hits if it's a 4 or higher. If it's lower, it doesn't do a hit. So that's kind of interesting. And I wanted to see the combat because I kind of had a feeling you were going just for the missions and not for the attacking.
Oh, I wanted to attack. I did want to attack. It just didn't make any sense for me to attack.
Because the board characters didn't hit very.
Right. I rolled one die on my attack that for each of those characters, even Locuta, mm-hmm. He only rolled one die. So it didn't really make a lot of sense for me to carry out any attacks.
Yeah, you would have to boost yourself up with equipment cards.
I was very curious because I wanted to assimilate some characters. Oh, yeah. And there was only a couple of cards in the deck that I could equip my character that said I could assimilate.
Okay.
So by the time I got around to doing that, then I just thought it was a waste of time.
Okay.
So that's why I just concentrated on assimilating the ship.
Yeah. And we didn't talk about this. You could assimilate one of the Federation people.
Right.
Now, it seemed like it was a little hard for you to do because you had to have certain cards.
Right, and that's why what I was talking about. You had to equip that card, and there were only
and then you had to attack, yeah. And then that character had to have been stunned or neutralized or something.
I think now, this is one thing I wasn't quite sure about with the assimilate was if I was successful in one attack, would I assimilate you or do I have to neutralize you? I don't think so. I think you wouldn't have to neutralize anybody. Mm. As long as I hit you and I had the assimilation ability, boom, you're assimilated.
So reading the assimilate, and I will say this, the rule book is hit or miss with me, but in the back of it, they have a glossary. So if it's like assimilate, for example, you can just go to this and it tells you some Borg attack actions assimilate a hostile character if they neutralize it. Assimilated characters become Borg characters and have the ratings of a Borg drone, but retain their specializations. Now, when you go to Neutralize says when a character has lost their last health peg and is required to remove another, they are neutralized or removed from the game.
So there you go. You would have to neutralize a character in order to assimilate.
Correct.
So you have to get rid of all
their pips. And okay. then after that, then you can assimilate that character.
So, and that would have been really, really difficult for me to do.
That sounds a little bit hard.
One die on every attacking, attack.
Yeah,
so now, if I could have additional Borg, and this is one thing we haven't talked about, is that you can put additional characters into a space to beef up your the amount of dice you can roll.
Yes.
So if I could have put multiple Borgs into the same space as somebody who's attacking, I could roll extra dice.
Right.
So I think that would be the way that you would neutralize, therefore assimilate characters.
That's probably how you would have to team up and do
right,
it.
But still, you got to do a lot of moving. They only move two spaces every turn.
Get the cards that you need.
So
you're lucky on dice rolls.
Yeah, it just doesn't pay, in my opinion. To try to neutralize or attack.
No, it looked like it was difficult. And plus, you know, I was amazed at how fast the rounds went.
That second game went by like
really quick. Yeah,
you thought we were still in the second round.
I thought we were still in round two. I was going to play a card that said you get this in round two. So I'm like, here we go. And you're like, no, this is the last. This is it.
Yeah,
you're the second to last turn. And I'm like, oh shit. Yeah, it oddly went by fast, and it says 60 to 90 minutes, and I think it took 60 to 90 minutes for both games that we played. And there was some setup stuff, and there was me explaining the rules, and there was, you know, the second game we played, I used the expansions. I used the Captain Kirk Federation expansion. I played those characters, and Toby was still the Borg. That's all we had available. We didn't have the first set of expansions, which were the Klingons. So that was what we did. I did like the Kirk expansion characters because out of all the thematic stuff, that felt the most thematic because all of the cards, like the Kirk cards that have Kirk on them are like him doing his judo chop. You got Spock doing the Vulcan nerve pinch, all this like cool stuff that like made so much. And there was cards I didn't show you. Khan shows up in my deck.
Oh, really?
I didn't play him because it was 40 points for me to score that card.
Yeah.
But what I had to have done was I had to have put his card on one of your characters. And then that boosted that character. You'd be rolling two additional dice for attack and defense. Then I would have to constantly attack that character. And if I got that character neutralized, I would win that card. So I didn't ever played it because I felt you rolling two dice for defense was going to make it harder, which I'm sure was the point.
Yeah.
But I couldn't see myself like, okay, that's probably going to take forever.
Hmm.
And I think that came up like when I thought it was round two, but it was round three, really. So I would not have had the time to have done it.
No.
But yeah, so Khan was in there. If you remember Mud from the original series, he was in there.
Hi, Mud.
So theme is all over the place in this game. It is thematic as hell. The cards are really cool. They match the characters. I had a lot of, I'm a doctor, not a so-and-so. Like, there was a bunch of different, they all said different stuff. One was like, I'm not a bricklayer. I'm not a chiropractor or something. I can't remember all of them.
I'm an old country doctor.
I'm an old country doctor.
I kept saying that all the time. Whenever Jason would, like, complain about something or whatever, I'd say, well,
I'm trying to get Bones to do something.
I'm an old country doctor.
Because all Bones did, he wasn't, like, a good attacker.
Well, of course not.
And all he did was heal. But again, Toby was not hitting me, like, at all. So, like, his character was kind of worthless.
Right.
Because he couldn't fight very well. All he did was a medical test, which there was none on the board. There were some cards that needed the medical stuff, but otherwise, he didn't do much. So, since I wasn't being attacked, he didn't do a whole lot. And when I was attacking, he didn't hit very strong. So, that was why I was complaining.
Well, he did take out Locutus.
He did.
He did.
He did.
I mean, it took him a while, but...
It did take a while. He chipped away at him. He chipped away at him.
He got him, though.
Okay.
Well, you were talking about thematic.
Yeah.
One of the things that I really liked about thematically with this is the board.
Okay.
The Enterprise ship board, it actually looks like the Enterprise.
Yeah.
The insides of it, because you've got like a bridge, and on the bridge you've got
for those of you who've seen The Next Generation, you know how the furniture is set up. You know, that's how it is. And there's like three lifts that's right there. Mm-hmm. And there's like his ready rooms right there. And you've got the command room where they have their meetings and stuff. And the other tiles look like that as well. You know, because when you see like Geordi in engineering, that's what it looks like, you know, and in the science area and in a sick bay. And they did a really good job of making the tiles look like the Enterprise.
I will agree to that. Like I said, this
and that's why I matter. That's why I enjoyed that board more than the cube.
Yeah, we played both sides for each game.
Because I mean, the cube is just like girders.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just boring. You know,
I can see that. Okay, I want to talk about balance for a minute. So you played the Borg. Did you feel like it was fair against the Federation? Like, did you feel like you had a shot?
Like I had a shot, or did you have a shot?
Well, let's start with you.
Okay, so talk about balance here. The Borg, they like we were talking about, they don't attack. You know, they have very weak attack, and if thematically they didn't, you know, they attacked, but they didn't want to kill anybody because they wanted to assimilate people.
Right.
So as I was looking through, you know, the cards and what I could do and. Because it took me the first game, it took me a while to kind of get a hang of what the cards said, what they mean, how you could play them, what kind of order you want to play them. Because I mean, that all is very important, especially when you're playing a game that you've never played before, because you're trying to figure it out. You know, it's a bit of an engine builder. I mean, I said that as we were playing. I mean, it's not an engine builder, but you've got to kind of figure it out. You got to think it up. Think about that. I got to play this first, and I got to play this card. Then I got to play this card in order to do whatever I want to do. Mm-hmm. So. It took a couple of turns for me to figure out that, you know, the Borg need to assimilate the ship.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I went after. And I looked at on the cards, too, and I got a lot of points for, I mean, like I had 40-point cards where I would assimilate a certain area of the ship, you know, engineering or bridge or whatever it might be. So it's like, okay, so this is what I got to do. Now, balance-wise, it didn't seem very balanced because I won it fairly easily.
Yeah.
Because of those high points I had on those cards.
Yeah.
I had very high points. But, like, and then after we talked after the second game, and what I said that I thought the Federation strategy needs to be, Federation strategy needs to just go out, ball to the wall, and kill. Borg. They just need to kill and keep the Borg from completing their assignment. So when you talk about balance, if you do that, then the game will be balanced.
So Federation. The Federation's missions cards are a little bit easier, and they have points anywhere from, I think the lowest I might have had was 15, and they go up to as high as 40. I didn't have a lot of the 40 ones come up, but they're in that range. And then sometimes you'll get like, there's bonus points on the card where it's like you score this card. And then if you got extra successes or you did this character or whatever, you get a bonus 5 points or a bonus 10 points. So at the beginning in the first game, I was going through those mission cards pretty quickly. I was succeeding all the missions. Yeah. I was in the places I needed to be.
You had me worried, actually.
I had a lot of the cards, right? And then you were like, okay, I finished this card, 40 points. Okay, I finished this card, 40 points. And then you kept saying that, and I'm like, that's an awful lot of points. Like, he's already at, like, 100, 112 or whatever. And I'm still, like, barely breaking 100. So that felt a little weird to me. And then what I did mention, and I kind of saved it for here, is another way to score points is both teams has a core mission card. There's one for the Federation, one for the Borg, and it's double-sided. So you get to pick what the main core mission is. So yours was like one of them was you had to assimilate the ship, and if you did it, you got an extra like 30 points.
I got 10 points for every assimilate card that I had.
And then the one I had was I had a two, it was called like Make Peace or something, where I had to play five contact cards. On the side of the cards, there's these keywords that say a bunch of different things. And one of them does say contact. And if I completed five or more mission cards that had contact in it, I would have got the bonus points for my mission. So hearing that, I would, you know, the Federation would have to attack the Borg, and you're trying to do five of these mission cards in a matter of three rounds. Mm-hmm. That makes it hard. So you would probably have to split it up, have like, okay, this guy's going to focus on the missions. So this guy, he's going to focus on fighting, because Kirk was the strongest fighter. And then like Spock was the guy who was doing, I had him do all the missions because all of his keywords were like, not science, the, what am I thinking of?
I don't know what you're thinking about.
Anyway, I can't think of it. He was more better at the test that I needed to do. And then in the first game, it was kind of an even spread because everyone was good at commanding. Data was good at computers, obviously.
And so was Worf.
Worf was good at computers as well. And then Riker was good at the commanding and security or something. Oh, and then I forgot to mention, one of the characters in the base game is Shelby. As a person who does not watch the show, I saw that character in this box, and I'm like, who the fuck is Shelby? Toby explained it to me. I got it. I understand it now. I have a question for Gale Force 9. Why? Like, I imagine it's for expansions, but I still thought you would have put at least your important main characters in the main box and then have these other fan favorite. Is Shelby even a fan favorite? Like,
the I wouldn't say so. She was only in a couple of episodes, and she was in at least one episode of Deep Space Nine that I know of.
Okay.
She's not seen very often. I don't know why they didn't put like Ro, for example, who was an ensign. I can't think of who played her, but
Or Troy, or...
Well, like we said, I think Troy and Dr. Crusher will be in the expansion, which, because there's supposed to be a Picard expansion, so I bet those two are in that one with,
probably.
With Geordi.
Geordi.
Geordi's got to be in that one.
Yeah, he wasn't in
this. Geordi wasn't either. In this one.
Anyway, yeah, so that was it. So I felt like, in balance, you feel like as a Federation player, you're winning because you're playing more cards, but each card is not worth as many points as the Borg character's points are. So there's a little weird balance issue there. But it looked like the Borg characters, yours were more like you had to do this card multiple times to get the points. You needed like seven tokens in order to score the points.
Right. And if it wasn't for that hive mind ability, there's no way I would have been able to do that.
Yeah, let's get to that. The hive mind is you can have one character use another character who's already been activated if they're on a different part of the ship. So Toby was doing that a lot, because it helped him pass.
I had to. In order for me to assimilate the different parts of the ship, I had to use the hive mind, and it won me both games.
So I guess we can go to our final thoughts. I didn't hate it. I don't want, you know, anyone to think that I'm being down on this. I had fun with it. I enjoyed it. I can see it's more of a game you have to play multiple times to get into a rhythm.
I totally agree there.
Because you have to kind of figure it out. You have to figure out the strategy. Like, we figured out the strategy after the second game. So now if I play this again, I could be like, okay, if I'm the Federation, I'm just going to have one character attack Borgs, and then the other one's going to do all the missions or whatever I need to do. This is kind of a game you do have to figure out. And it's fine. It is fun. It's I give it like 10 for thematic. Like, it did felt like a Star Trek thing. Like, all the cards going to the characters, Kirk having the judo cracked me up, Spock with the Vulcan mind, you know, Vulcan neck pinch or whatever. That was all great. And the gameplay is a little fiddly. There's a big learning curve on this. Two bad things, and I'm sure you agree with me on this. The rule book could be a little more better. I like the glossary in the back. That was a good move. But I feel like it's one of those rule books where things are kind of out of place. Like, it doesn't start, like, it starts off with that story you kind of sold about how the Borg works and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then it more breaks down into, like, okay, here's how the character board works. Here's how the card works. Here's the factions. Okay, now I'm going to tell you how to set up the game. We're, like, on page 15 already. And sometimes this is the first time I've played this, I'm by default going to the first page for setup. Right.
Which most people do, I think.
And for the setup to be on page 15 is, like, crazy to me. They were probably very excited about the story, I'm sure. But stuff is just kind of all over the place. The tutorial didn't tell me, I had to figure this out, and Toby helped me figure it out a little bit, that the tutorial left out stuff. Because I'm reading this rule book to him, like the tutorial rule book to him, and I'm like, your actions are move, attack, special action, take cover. And then I notice the reference card, and the reference card has two additional actions to it. And now I'm like, okay, what the hell? And then I come to find out, oh, those are for when you get used to the game, that then you play with those actions. They should have a thing in the tutorial that says, hey, there's these other actions that you're going to see on that card. You do not use them for the tutorial. Just ignore them for now. Do these four actions. It doesn't say that anywhere in
here. Well, and the thing is, though, it's only two actions. Those two actions are not difficult. Why couldn't they have just put them in a tutorial?
That too, yeah.
I don't see a purpose of omitting them.
Yeah, it make it harder.
It didn't make it harder.
And then the second thing were the little pips that you put into your character board to track, like, your health. They're these little, like, pips that you plug into your character board.
It has a little nub on the bottom that plug into the hole of your character
board. And what they do is your character has, like, a base of everything, of movement, of attacking, of defense. And then the pips give you, like, an extra one of those. When you take damage, you take one of those pips out. And if all your pips are gone, that's when you're neutralized. These things, I didn't so much do it as much. Toby did a little bit more. But these are so easily able to be knocked out. Like, you know, one wrong hit, all these pips go flying in the air.
And they're very small.
They're very tiny. Toby had a panic attack. He thought he'd drop one on the floor.
Yeah.
He didn't, but he thought he did. And we thought it was the end of everything. So I would just say dials. Just dials for everything.
Yeah, I prefer dials. For anytime you're keeping track of any kind of resources or something like that, I prefer dials.
Get with the company that makes Dice Throne. They use dials amazingly.
I mean, I understand what they were going for, because these little markers that they use, they look like the pips that they wear on their collars to show rank.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they were trying to go for. I see why they did that, but to have something that is that fiddly,
yeah,
is not that good.
So those are my complaints and my thoughts. What about you?
I think that's probably my biggest complaint was those. I don't know if I really have any other complaints, because I did enjoy it. It was, like you said, it was a little fiddly at first, because there's a lot of text that's on the cards, and you gotta. It's gonna, the first game you play, even if you read the rule book out or whatever, it's gonna take you. There's a learning curve,
yeah,
as you said.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to read the cards. You got to try to figure out, like I said earlier, what card you want to play first. You know, you got to set yourself up. Essentially, especially for the Borg, because you got to try to You can get these adapt tokens that can help you score some points and do other things. So on the bottom of the cards, it might say, if you have X amount of adapt tokens, you can do this. You know, it might give you an extra die when you're doing skill checks or things like that. So that's the thing I had the most difficulty with at the very first. I mean, it took me probably the whole first round for me to try to figure out some sort of a strategy. Because I really thought that, okay, how can I just go out here and annihilate him? You know, I wanted to attack. I wanted to attack like you did. You wanted to attack to see how it worked.
Yeah.
But as I looked on my boards, it was like, attack one? How the hell am I going to do any damage by just attacking with one die?
Yeah.
I didn't even do anything. So, and then when I saw the cards and the points I can get from assimilating the different parts of the ship, I was like, okay, here's my strategy right there. And I'm trying to think about replayability.
Okay.
As well for this. Because, I mean, if you're playing the same factions, if you play the board all the time, you're just going to do what I did. You're just going to assimilate the ship. Every single time.
Yeah,
the gameplay is going to be a little differently, things like that. But essentially, you've got the same, you're going to have the same goal. You're going to have the same strategy every single time. Now, this is great because they've got expansions that's going to be out. I'd love to see how the Klingons work.
Yeah.
I'd love to see how the Romulans work.
Yeah.
They have Cardassians. They have the Dominion. You know, if they start bringing out all these different factions, I want to see Q.
Yeah.
I want to see them do something with Q. That would be awesome to have a scenario with Q.
Yes.
So, this has a lot of potential.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't even touch on the minis. We didn't even say anything.
Oh, yeah.
The minis are very comical. You know, it's very cartoonish like minis. And this is the reason. Now, this came out at Gen Con last year before it hit the stores.
Yep.
And I was on the fence big time. At Gen Con, because I was like, it's Star Trek. I got to have it. But then I looked at the miniatures, and I was like, and you know me, I like minis.
You like miniatures.
I love to play with miniatures. I love playing with toys. You know, I'm a kid. I'm a big kid at heart.
Yeah.
Like my wife said, I'm 12 years old.
Basically.
So minis are a big thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, it just enhances the gameplay for me.
Okay.
So I saw these minis, and I was like, they just don't look appealing to me whatsoever. So I think therefore I didn't buy it at Gen Con.
Okay.
Primarily because of the minis. I didn't play it or anything like that. So, I mean, that made up my mind right there that when I saw the minis, that I was like, I'll pass on this.
Okay.
And maybe down the road, I might get it.
Okay.
I didn't buy it at Gen Con because of that.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
But other than that, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's quick. I mean,
it went by really quick. Yeah.
And it's not terribly difficult to play.
Once you get used to it, it's a breeze. You just fall into a rhythm.
And I do kind of like the idea that it's not just, you know, kill or be killed. You know, you've got missions that you're trying to accomplish. You're trying to score points. You're trying to get the most points.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that. That's kind of cool, kind of different. I'm trying to think of other games that are like that, but you know, it's kind of cool. And I like games where you attack a lot. You know, because I mean, I love war games.
Yeah.
But then there's a lot of games I like where you don't even mess with the other person. You know, you just do what you want to do.
Exactly.
You're trying to complete your goal.
Yep.
And that's one thing. We'll go back to like Star Trek Ascendancy. You know, you don't have to attack in that game either.
Okay.
You can just go around and explore new world, you know.
A 5-year mission.
The 5-year mission. You know, like if you like they got the Ferengi expansion. You know, you're just trying to get money. You're just trying to make profit with the Ferengi. You know, if you're playing with Klingons, you're gonna attack everybody.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I mean that's cool that it's asymmetric like that.
Okay.
And that's how this is too.
Okay.
It's asymmetric. So I'm hoping that, you know, when they bring out other expansions, you know, like if they bring out the Ferengi, for example,
that'd probably be more attack heavy.
That would be very cool to where they're just trying to make profit.
I agree.
So yeah,
So it's not a bad game. I would play it again. I just wouldn't rush out to play it again, but I am curious about the expansions, you know, that'll be coming out for it. I hope Gale Force 9, you make new boards. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Because so far these expansions just been like the tiny small box expansions, but just the characters and their cards. So it'd be kind of neat if you can give us more ships, like a Klingon ship. Or
have all the expansions been the small boxes?
Yeah, they all been this.
They have not had a big box. No, nope. So
the Klingons are the same size as these.
No Americans. Other boards that we correct. Can fight on.
It's just these four. Those four.
The next generation hallway. Enterprise. Not even the. We're on the C or D class. Correct. The Enterprise.
Yeah. Right. So we could. It would be neat if we had more boards. But yeah, I think that's it. I think that's all we got to say. So again, we do want to thank Gale Force 9 for sending us this game. Yes,
thank you so much.
We do appreciate it. And we're just being honest with our take on it. But we hope, you know, we keep this interesting relationship that we got going. I'm curious what you guys will send us next. Speaking of next time, I'm going to do something a little different. We're going to do a kind of another episode in March. We're going to go back on track. We're going to do those adventure games from Ravensburger. Lord of the Rings, The Princess Bride, and The Wizard of Oz. Yes. We'll talk about those. So we'll have that out later in March sometime. I don't have a date yet, but so look out for that. A bonus episode in March.
Ooh.
And then we'll keep you updated if Gale Force 9 contacts us again with another game. We'll go ahead and we'll do that. Thank you all very much for listening. Please go to rabbitholepodcast.com. Go check out other episodes of Cinegamer. Go check out all the other games we covered. And go check out the other podcasts that we got going on there. There's so many podcasts that you can go listen to. You can literally binge it like Netflix. So go do that. Toby, thank you so much for doing this with me. I have a blast doing the show, so thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I have a blast as well.
That's going to do it for us, and we'll see you in a few weeks in March.
Copyright 2024, Rabbit Hole Podcasts, rabbitholepodcasts.com.